Today's daf in the Sechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Aleph, and we're holding five lines down from the top of the page. Tana Rabbanan is where we're at. So, the Mishnah has spoken about all the various things that are something that can cause a person to lose his Olam Haba, and we write about saying a posik from Shir HaShirim, the things that are considered to be a bizoyan of the Torah, which were included in the apikursus, the derish drosha shel Deifi, and all of the various things we spoke about yesterday. So we continue on to speak about that issue of saying a posik of Shir HaShirim as a song. So it says in the Braita, korei pasuk shel Shir HaShirim v'oseh oto k'min zemer, if you use Shir HaShirim as a song, and you think that because it is a shir, therefore you can use it as a secular song, and you say a posik over some seuda that you're making, you say psukim over the wine that you're drinking, even though it's not a time for that mitzvah, it's not a seuda Shabbos or a Yom Tov where it would make sense that you would be saying those psukim, mevi ra'a la'olam. This is so hurtful to the Torah that the Torah puts on sackcloth and says, Ribbono shel Olam, look what your children are doing to me. They treat me like a kinor. What did I think I am? One of those corner guys with his little monkey, and he's sitting there playing the Divrei Torah, turning his Divrei Torah round and round while the monkey dances. Omar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Torah, Biti, b'sha'a sholchlim v'shotim, b'mayitasku, what do you want these people to do? I mean, look, you want them to be watching TV? I mean, they're sitting there eating and drinking. It's lovely that, you know, they're singing about you. I mean, I don't think that's so insulting. I mean, look, it's not exactly the most honorable situation, but it's sure a lot better than watching TV. Yes, that's the word. Thank you. I appreciate it. These words that have been escaping me more and more. Anyway, thank you. So the Torah says, well, what do you mean? I've got a lot of good answers to that. You know, they don't have to sing. I mean, they could learn. Im bale mikrahim, couldn't they be Isaac and Torah Nevi'im Iksuvim? If they're able to learn Mishnah, couldn't they be Misasek in Mishnah and Halochas and Hagodas? I mean, lots of things, even if they don't know how to talk and learning, and they don't understand Kashas and Terutzim. And if they're Balei Talmud, even better, you know? They could be Isaac in Hilchas Pesach during Pesach, in Hilchas Hatzeres, Batzeres, in Hilchas Hachag, Bechag. I mean, there's so many nice things they could do. Why do they have to turn me into a song? Heyed Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Hananya, Kol HaKorei Pasuk Bizmano, if it's at the right time and the right place, so it's a Surah of Yontev and you're saying over in Yanim of the Yontev, or even if it's a mitzvah and you're bringing in Yanim from the Masechet that you're saying it over a cup of wine and making a Simon Tov, that's maybe Tov Elayelam. Shemar Davar Bi'ito Matov. If something is at the right time, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. Now, halacha lemaisa, this raises obviously a lot of concerns because the question is, what precisely do we mean that you make it into a song? I mean, the pashtus is you make it into a song and it's, as the Rishonim say, you don't read it according to the actual, trop that's given. You don't use the ta'amim. And you turn it into a song. I mean, everybody does that. They're always singing Shir HaShirim. So, I mean, that would be the most chomer. And the truth is that the Magen Avraham actually says that you're supposed to be machmir and not do those kind of things and not use psukim bichlal as songs and all these songs that are on the recordings, and these would be big problems. And Rav Meisha was actually asked about this. He has a tshuva about it. And he writes that he doesn't know what they're semichim. Lo yatati amayim semichim. He says, but I know that that's the minhag ha'olam, is to actually sing these songs, but it's more appropriate not to. and not to make these recordings. That's what he suggests. The Maaser of Avadia Yosef has a tshuva in which he writes that the minhag ha'olam from derei derais is that they use, as long as it's for tzerech of a mitzvah and divrei kedusha, that there's dafka an inyan, that you see people wanted that the Torah should be actually the way that they sing, and they just not using the trup, that's not the problem per se. And many others, I mean, including Rav Kanievsky Zatzal, also were said that to be semech on the minhag ha'olam, this is not something new. And because of that, people are not so makbid on this Magen Avraham, who suggests only stick to the actual megunim that are set in your little zmiras for Shabbos. And those especially expanded zmiras books, you know, they got the zmiras books with another 200 zmiras in them. Don't use them, because those are all not the things that are davar be'itay matov. That would put a real crimp in the market, let me tell you. Is that Moshe Ando wanting to say something, or is he just smiling? No, okay.
I wanted to ask if the fight over here is specifically singing, or if like poetry or literature, which incorporates
the truth is there are many, many opinions. Some even tiny that it's only Shir HaShirim, and that the idea of Shir HaShirim is specifically because since it's a love song, and it's called a shir, so it looks like something that you ought to be able to sing as a love song to your lover. So people would be more nichshal in that. Or others say it's dafka Shir HaShirim because Shir HaShirim is kedesh kadashim, as Rabbi Akiva says. So there it's more easily mechulal if a person doesn't have the right makshavas, and so on. There's so many different pshatim that you can understand why people feel yesh l'mamal l'smoch. And they even do it to Shir HaShirim. I mean, that's the funny part. All right. As Rabbi Shazatzal said, "Ini yodea ma'im somchim." Heyid Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Chananya. Oh, we said, sorry. V'halochei shalamaka. Okay, so the next case that we have is using Divrei Torah, all similar to the idea of the Shir HaShirim, similar to the idea of the Mevazeh Divrei Torah, is someone who uses a pasuk as a lachash over a makas. It used to be very common, and there's still plenty of places where they do this, where they say incantations over a maka, and they say a pasuk over it, you know, kol ha'machalash or samtei ha'mitzrayim, or any pasuk that has to do with refuah, ani Hashem rofecha. So that is also someone who can lose his olam haba. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, if you're talking about ad kidei kach, that he loses his olam haba, that's talking about where, you know, these people that spit on it, poo, 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 the bli ayin hara, poo, 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 ani Hashem rofecha, you know, great. So that is really a bizoyin. L'fishet maskirin shem shomayim al harikika. It's mamash a bizoyin over spitting to say the shem Hashem. But Rav says, itmar, even if it doesn't have the shem Hashem. There was also a minute to say, negat saras, vuval, kohen. There's no Shem Hashem in that pasuk. There's not even a mention of refuah in that pasuk. So, I mean, you'd think something like that already. That's not adaraba. You're saying that a person who gets some kind of chas v'shalom, a negas, so a person kind of falls and he cuts his hand, so he says, "That's, you see, I deserve this. It's like a negas aras. I should go to the kohen." Sounds more like a covet for the pasuk. Even that, says Rav Zasser, it's not the idea of the Shem Hashem specifically. You know what, says Rabbi Chanina? It doesn't have to have any relationship at all to the Makkah. Even if you just say, Vayikra El Moshe. Vayikra El Moshe, what? Nothing. Vayikra El Moshe. Just that it should be, you should be saying over a pasuk to remind you. Even that is Osir. Tana Rabbanan. So there are things you can do if your tummy hurts on Shabbos. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to say incantations. You could take oil and you could rub your tummy and you don't have to say anything. And since anyway, it's the derech b'chol, that sicha has the same din as shtia. So, okay, not everybody rubs their tummy with oil, but it's not considered to be derech of refuah bedafka. And therefore, since even Briim would do that, as we learned in Masechet Shabbos, you could do that. That's mutter. And lo kashim lechishat nechashim va'akrabim b'shabbat. See, here, this is a big machlokas. There are certain incantations that those incantations, most of the Rishonim understand that those incantations are words that are said to prevent a scorpion from biting you or to get a snake to run away. So Rashi says that the Shaila over there was the question of whether, is it similar to Tzeda? No, it's not similar to Tzeda. But the Rambam understands that what it means is that someone who was already stung and he's in a dangerous situation in which he's panicking. So as we saw in Hilchos Shabbos, the din of refuah on Shabbos is that it is mutter to do things that will calm a person who has been, I mean, obviously, in Sekhonos Nefashos, we say things that will calm him. But even if it's something that is deeply troubling and he's panicking and he's breathing to, you know, and getting dizzy and so on, so you're allowed to do that also as a psychological thing. It's not that it has any kind of value. Umavirin. Yeah, no, if, yeah, absolutely. Umavirin kli al gabe ha'ayin b'shabbat. We also, so people put a metal, you know, some type of metal kli, which is to cools the eye. So if you've got a problem on your eyelid, you could put a metal kli on it. That's also not considered to be the type of refuah that is included in the gezer that maybe you'll come to shechikat samamanim. I mean, it's not bichlal, that type of thing. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But wait a minute, it's got to be not mukta. If it's mukta, you can't do that. Bikli she'eino nital, it would be usr. Ve'ein sho'alim b'dvar she'dim b'shabbat. Rabbi Yossi omer af b'chol usr. So it used to be the minhag that they would ask, say, if you need to find something, right? So you don't know where it is. So you ask the she'dim, and the she'dim, they make it turn up. It's always like that, right? It just turns up out of nowhere after you haven't seen it for 3 weeks. All of a sudden, you open a drawer, and it's been there the whole time. You say, how's that possible? I've opened the drawer 100 times. Ah, the shaydim put it in the drawer. That's the solution. So the best thing to do is to tell the shaydim you'd like to have your keys to the car back, and then the keys will show up. Now, you don't do that on Shabbos. Not only because you don't drive the car on Shabbos, because even if it's not your car keys and it's the key to your house, you don't ask Shadim for keys on Shabbos. Why? Because that is considered to be a, you know, motzecha fatzecha. You're not supposed to do things the way you would do it on Chol. It's very not Shabbos-tic. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says that type of thing, bichlal, is usser. Now, you'd think that it would be usher because it's similar to Kishuf and all these other superstitious acts, but that's not why. It's usher because, as the Gemara will explain, Omer Avuna, most of the Girsaot here are that the halacha is Kribyosi, not the way we have the gears over here in halacha Kribyosi. And in fact, that's the way the Peskim brings it, the Rambam brings it that way, and the Rif, it's that way. And the Grah, because of that, changes the Gemara also to say, halacha Rabbi Yossi, do not ask Shadim for your keys back. Af Rabbi Yossi lo amra ela mishum sakana. It's not because it's really a magical kind of thing. It's because it's dangerous to get involved in Shadim. Ki hadar of Yitzhak bar Yosef. And Rashi had obviously a different jersey here, but Rashi says that Rav Yitzhak bar Yosef, he once asked the Shaila of Shadim, and they got angry at him. And they wanted to hurt him. And because of that, he was swallowed up in this Erez. So that was the old willow. And that's in Rashi that saved him. But over here, they had to get him out of the old willow tree. And because of that, he's Avid Lenisa. He was able to escape even without Tom Bombadil. And Poka Arza Upalte, the tree opened up and spit him out. Tana Rabbana. Sachinu mamash machine bivnei me'ayim b'shabbat u'bevachelo yaseh k'derech shu'oseh b'chol. There's no problem, but these rabbanim were machmer. They say you should change a little bit from the way you would rub your tummy on a weekday. What does that mean, to change? Reb Chama b'Rabbi Chanina says you should first put on the oil, and then do the massage, which is not the way that you normally do it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, what you should do is pour on the oil as you massage. Ten Rabban, Sarei Shemen, V'Sarei Beitzim, Mutar Lish'ol Behem. So there was a minag to ask the broken eggshells, or you have oil, and we'll see oil in a cup, or oil in a hand, we'll talk about. But, you know, it's not that it's actually usur, it's just you're not going to get any good answers. So, Elam Mipneshim Mechazvim. So these are things that are, they'll just lie to you. I mean, you might as well go and ask, you know, ChatGPT, where are my keys? It'll hallucinate a solution. But the solution will have nothing to do with reality. What do you think these shadim are? You think they're better than ChatGPT? So, mameva, not worth your time. Lo chashina shemen shebekli. And if you're going to be talking to these kind of find my keys shadim, they should only be over oil that's held in some kind of cup, but don't put the oil on your hand. And because of that, you don't have to worry about using oil from someone's hand on your skin and think maybe they've been infested with shadim, because the shadim don't usually infest that kind of oil. But you, in a kli, but you cannot be, no, yeah, I said it right. But you cannot be sucking from shemen that's in a kli, because if in fact that was used for the shadim, then it might still have some shadim poison in it. There was once a mice of Reb Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. He went in to a certain bed and breakfast, and they bring him this oil in a kli. One of these fancy places where they do that even today, right? Get a little bit of oil in a kli to use on your fingers after you eat. Got to be very careful. Remember to what happened to Reb Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta. My gosh, he put a little bit of that oil on his face. Nafkalan simche ba'api, he got these blisters all over his face. He goes outside and these blisters are coming out, and this woman sees him going down the street. She says, oh my gosh, I see you are being attacked by a Zika de Hamat kachazina haka. There's this terrible shade that I happen to know all about. His name is Hamat, and we'll get rid of him for you. So Avda la Milta, so she did her little shtick, and Itase, he got all better. But if you don't happen to know what to do about Hamad, better not to use that stuff. Omele Rabba la Rabba Bamori. K'tiv kol ha-machala asher shamti b'Mitzrayim lo asim alecha, ki ani Hashem rofecha. I don't get it. If kol ha-machala asher shamti b'Mitzrayim lo asim alecha, then why do you have to have a rofecha? Then you don't need a doctor. Just don't bother me in the first place. I'd rather not have the doctor. If you're not going to get sick, so why would we need a refuah? It's obvious what it means. Im shamoa tishma l'kol Hashem Elokecha, then kol ha-machala asher shamti al Mitzrayim. So if you'll actually be mekayim the mitzvah the way you should, so then you won't need a rofe. So im tishma lo asim, but im lo tishma asim. But nonetheless, you have to know that under all circumstances, even if chas v'sholom you were neifel, af al pi kein ki ani Hashem rofecha, there's always, once you're cured of whatever, obviously the curing is the curing of your nefesh through the tsar that you go through, as we'll see. But Yisurin or Mechaper, so I am a Kodesh Baruch Hu who will cure you. Therefore, after the whole tachlis of this was to give you a way to kapora, I will take care of you. The way that, remember, that Rashi explains with the beautiful medrash on this pasuk is that it's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu is like a doctor, and therefore is telling you all of these mitzvahs that I've given you. It's like a doctor says to a patient, avoid this and you will avoid a heart attack. Avoid that and you'll be able to live without a stroke, and so on and so forth. So these are the mitzvahs of the Torah. So since I am a doctor, I can tell you what it is that will be good for you. There's also the other medrash. Remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael because he loves them. all of these mitzvahs. So it's like a doctor. How come the goyim get to eat whatever they want? Marshal, a doctor, there's two patients side by side. One of them is terminal. So he says to the nurse, give the guy whatever he wants to eat. So then afterwards, how come I got such a strict diet and that guy gets to eat whatever he wants? That guy's got a few days to live. He's welcome to eat whatever he wants. You can get better. So therefore, you've got to make sure that you eat the right things. The same thing is true. The Yumas HaElam, they're already Damim Lemesim. But Klal Yisrael has to be saved from any illness. Omar Rabbah Bar Bar Chana, when Rabbi Eliezer became sick, this is Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, so Nichnasu Tamidav Levakra, Omar Lahem, Chema Zayin Yesh Ba'olam, apparently there's tremendous tsar in the world, there's a Midas Hadin that is apparently attacking all of us, and maybe I had to look, there's a lot of different approaches. I mean, some learn, it appears to be like Rashi, that he's talking about himself. There's tremendous anger. If something is affecting me, it's because Midas HaDin is against me. Others learn that he's saying that if I have to suffer, it must be in order that there should be a kapora on the world. Or others are mechaber to the sugya that we had before, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very angry at the way that I've been treated because of my piskei halachas. Anyway, so Yitchilu Hein Bochim, so all of the Talmidim start to cry, except, of course, Rabbi Akiva, who starts laughing, as he always does, as we saw, we're going to see again in Makkas, all of the different times that Rabbi Akiva was Mesachik. So all of the other Talmidim say, what's wrong with you, you idiot? Hey, Lamata Mesachik. Amar Lahem, what do you mean? Why are you crying? You're the guys who have to explain yourselves. Amrullah, what are you talking about? Efshe Sefer Torah Shari Betzar V'lonivked. You see a Sefer Torah in pain. Rabbi Eliezer is like a walking Sefer Torah, and we shouldn't cry. Amrullah, that's exactly why I'm laughing. Kol zman shani roya Rebbe, shein yenoi machmitz, vein pishtonoi loike, vein shamnoi mavish, vein duvshono madbish. I see everything going right for Rebbe all these years. Nothing is wine is the best wine. His pishta never gets ruined while it's being worked on. You know, it takes so much time in order to break down. You have to leave it inside the container to allow it to break down so that you can use it. Oftentimes that goes wrong. The oil never goes rancid. His honey doesn't get ruined. I said to myself, gosh, maybe chas v'shalom. Rebbe was already mekabel his olam haba in this world. I mean, a person that never should have yisurin. So that's why now I see Rebbe Bitzar. Now I'm sure that all of his schar is shomer in olam haba. So Rebbe Eliezer says to Rebbe Akiva, Akiva, what's the matter with you? Kum chisarti min ha-tayra ku? I don't understand. You're assuming that I'm a Rosha. I did bad things. And therefore, I need to have yisurin. So I should have a chelek in Olam Haba. What's the matter with you? Omar lo, Rebbe, you taught us. Limadatana Rabbeinu. Ki adam ein tzadik ba'oretz asher yaseh tov velo yecheta. That even a person who's a tzadik who does tov, in that tov, he's going to always be doing something wrong. Remember, like Rabbeinu Bachya speaks about, if your kavana wasn't 100%, so then your tefillah, even your tefillah, could be a chait. And if you had a kavana for your own gaiver, you wanted in some way to people to notice what you're doing. There's many things that a person, even though he's a tzaddik, and he's doing what is right, lamaisa, it ends up being a sin on some level. That's all that I'm saying, and that's what you taught us. So I think it's appropriate. Tana Rabbana, another story about this, Kishachola Rabbi Eliezer, Nichlisu Abba Azekenim Levakro, Rabbi Tarfan, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva. So each one of them wanted to be Mechazek, Rabbi Eliezer, and be Mispalal, that's what you're supposed to do. So you're Mispalal by showing the chashivas of the person, the Ribbono Shel Olam should be Merachim on Klal Yisrael by helping Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, Rabbi Tarfan said, Tova Tali Yisro Mitipa Shel Geshamim. You're more important to Klal Yisrael than the rains. Shetipa Shogeshamim is only Be'olam Hazeh, and Rebbe is Be'olam Hazeh or Be'olam Haba, and therefore you should be Zeicha to Rachmei Shamayim for our sakes. Nana Rebbe Yeshua V'yamah, Tova Tal Yisrael Yoter Migalgal Chama. You're more important to us than the sun. Galgal Chama is only Be'olam Hazeh. Rebbe is Be'olam Hazeh, Be'olam Haba. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah said, Tov atal Yisroel Yisr mi'avayim. A person's own father and mother is only Be'olam Hazeh, but Rebbe Be'olam Hazeh, Be'olam Haba. Rachamim, Rachamim. Rebbe Akiva gets up and say, ah, Gevaldik, Chaviv in Yisroel. You should be so happy in all of this suffering. So Rebbe Eliezer says, now somebody's talking sense. Could you lift me up, please? I want to hear what Rabbi Akiva is saying better. So lift me up. Samchuni v'shma divrei Akiva Talmidi shamar chaviv in Yisurin. Now we got somebody talking sense. Amarlo, Akiva zuminayin lecha. Can you bring me a raya that it's actually chaviv? Amar, Rabbi, I'm telling you a pasuk, very simple pasuk. If you give me rishus, mikra nidoresh. Look. We talked about in the Mishnah over here, so this whole story is very negiah, our Mishnah, that one of the Arba Malachim, so the question is, what would be the din of Menashe? Does he have a chelek in Olam Haba or not? That's how we started the discussion of Menashe B'chizkiah. So if you take a look at the story in Divrei Hayomim, so it says, Ben 12 shana b'mach Menashe b'mocho. Menashe was 12 years old when he became king, and he was Melech for 55 years, and he was terrible. It says all the horrible things that he did. And it says, Gam Ela Mishle Shlomo Asher Hatiku Anche Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. Now, on the other hand, you've got this guy Menashe, who's a son of Chizkiyo. This shows that, look how Chizkiyo wanted to make sure, he even made sure that they had Sefer Mishlei to be able to give over Torah from the Deres, to give it over to Deres Haboyim. And that was his responsibility. And forget about the way that he did all the incredible things that he did. Then he took the cherev and he put it in the front of the Beis HaMedrash, and the whole Yisrael were Bekiyim, even in Dinim of Tumah V'Torah. So this person, Menashe's father, dedicated his entire life to spreading Torah all over the world. So tell me something. Do you honestly think that the one person that he didn't spread Torah to was his son Menashe? I mean, Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda Kol Olam Kulo Limei Torah, but Menashe Ben Olam Limei Torah. Is that what you think? No. Obviously, the whole point over here is to recognize that a father can bust his guts to try to get his son to learn Torah, and he ends up with the biggest Russia in the world, and it doesn't matter what you do. So what does that show? Mikol Terach Shetarach Bo, Umikol Omal Sha'omal Bo, all that he put into him, and all that he worked with him, it didn't help. Lo He'alahu L'mutav. What helped in the end? Bashing his head in. And that was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yisurin. Lo He'alahu L'mutav Ela Yisurin. Let's take a look back at the pasuk about Menashe. Shenemar v'idaber Hashem el Menashe v'el amo v'lo ikshivu. V'yavei Hashem alayem et sarei hatzava. Oh, now things are different. We bring the army, Asher l'melech Ashur. They capture Menashe. They put him into whatever hooks where they keep his arms and legs in. V'yasru b'nechushtayim. And they put him up with the fetters. And they then l'licheu b'vala. And they put him through hell. And then, at last, Patserlo, when things are really tough, after it says that he asked every Avodah Zorah in the world to help him, no Avodah Zorah helps him. So then, at last, he schilat b'nei Hashem Elokav, v'yikanama od milifnei Elohei Avotav. And then he actually was very humbled in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, broke his spirit instead of his gaiva from his whole life, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears him. This is the pasuk that we brought in the Mishnah. Is it only l'malchuto, not to Olam Haba? That was the machlokes. Vayeda Menashe ki Hashem hu Elohim. Wow. So Olam Haba, says Rabbi Akiva, shechaviv in Yisurim. Doesn't that show how amazingly valuable Yisurim are? Tana Rabbanan, there were three people that were bo'u ba'alila. Instead of being real, what they did is they were sneaky in the way that they used their bakasha, and they put it into terms that couldn't be denied, but in a very inappropriate way. Instead of actually coming and to be mevakesh properly, they said things in a way that they weren't able to be denied. And who is that? Kayin, Esav, and Menashe. So Kayin says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gadol avoni min Esav. So what does he say? He says, Ribono shel Olam, Klum gadol avoni mishishim ribu shatidim lachtol lefanecha. Get 600,000 people making an Egel Azov, doing the Bais of the Meraglim. You manage to figure out how you're going to get these people. They'll be okay. You'll be Meichel them and so on. You got one little Kayin boy. Okay, you know, I think if you take all of those 600,000 things and you multiply them times the number of Averas there were, I mean, maybe the patience that you had there, you know, a little bit that you could have for me, huh? It's really bigger than that. Atasolech lehem. What am I going to say? Esav. He said, what did Esav do? So he says to Yitzhak, what do you mean? You only have one bracha? What? The keyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is limited. You don't have any way. There's no way to give a bracha to poor little Esav, right? I mean, what does that show about life and the universe and everything? What are you going to say? Okay, so we'll give you a bracha. Menashe, so first, what does he do? First, it says in the pasuk, he goes to all of his gods, right? Now he's asking all of his gods. Okay, then he comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, well, there's only one reality left. Of course, if that reality isn't real either, that is no different than all the other garbage gods. What are we going to do? Abba Shalom there. And then we go on to another case in the Mishnah, as no chelik l'olam haba, and that is ha'oget Hashem be'otiyotav. That's a big machlokas, what exactly that means. So some learn it means, this is Rashi's pshat, that it's talking about the Shem HaMefurash of Membez Osiyes. And that is something that you're not allowed to say, that was said only in the Beis HaMikdash. But Lamaisa, many of the Rishonim learned that it means this, the Shem Yutke Vavke, except that he pronounces it the way that it's written, instead of according to the drasha, which is that I'm not supposed to be pronounced the way that I'm written. Lokashani nichtav. And so that's zeshmi le'olam v'zezichri. There's a difference between the shame and the zecher of the shame. Others learn, this is the most chomer approach, but people actually are makbid on this, that hoges hashem bi'otiyotav would mean to say the letters of the shame. Just to say them out as letters. So because of that, people are makpat to say yud k vav k. Why is it k? It's not a k, it's a hey. But the point is, if you hold that it means be'otiyotav, then you're not even supposed to say over the letters of the shame. Tana, what this means is that you say this shame in the gvulin, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, where that is the mokum for the Askaras Hashem, and Beloshon Aga. So it's a machlokus over whether this is and or whether this is or. So there's different approaches that even Rashi has. Aga comes from the word La Age Safa. It means that you speak with other languages. You can't express yourself properly. Or Aga could mean a sewing circle, you know, like an Uga, Choni Ama Agel. So it means in your own circle. So Ubaloshan Aga is if it's outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or even if it's in the Beis HaMikdash, if it would be Baloshan Aga, you don't say it correctly, but you talk about the shame in other languages. So that would mean one or the other. But it could also mean Aga could mean a Loshan of Litzanis, so that you use the shame loosely. That's how others learn it. Next piece of the Mishnah. Shlosha Malachim ve'arba'a Adiotot. So we started off, the first of the Shlosha Malachim is Yeravam ben Nevat. Now what is exactly that name? The idea of the name is that it's Merames. Yeravam is a Lashon of Shribaam. that he really pushed the arm down to the ground. It also could mean he screwed the whole nation. Dover Acher, Yeravam Shasa Miriva Ba'am. He made such a Miriva within Klal Yisrael, between the supporters of David HaMelech and the Aser HaShvatim. Or it could mean, he made a Meriva ben Yisrael Avim Shebashamayim by making those agolas. And why is he called Ben Nevat? Ben Shinibet Veloraa. He saw something, but he didn't understand properly what it was that he saw. Tana. This word Nevat, we'll see what that means. So Nevat, actually, is a historical meta presence. It's the same, so to speak, Gilgal Neshama, or some learn literally the same person. Obviously, that's the easiest way to pretend the Gemara means, or it means, as the Gemara usually means with these things, that that same type of expression is found again and again in history. So we'll say that Paro was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was Paro, was Nimrod. Well, that's what the Gemara always means. So here, who Nevat, who Micha in Mitzrayim, who became Micha, that was the one who had Pesel Micha, who Sheva ben Bichri, who was the one who rebelled against David HaMelech. Why were they have given these different names to the same piece of information that we call the soul that is reflected in this identity? Nevat, Shenibat v'lo ra'ah, as we said before, Micha shenitmachmech bebinyan. He was called Squishy because he was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, how come your children are getting squished underneath the buildings? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm getting rid of the garbage. You want to see what kind of garbage? Go pull one out and you'll see for yourself. That, of course, ended up taking Moshe Rabbeinu's own grandson to be the one who would work in the temple of Micha. Squish. Be careful not to complain. What was his name? His real name was Sheva ben Bichri. So how did that happen? So Tana Rabbanan, Shlosha Niptu, there were three people that saw things, but they didn't understand what it was that they saw. And this is Nevat, Achitofel, and it's Tagnine Paro. So Nevat had this beautiful musk vision. He sees fire shooting out of his penis, which is why Musk gave out those, remember, nobody understood. Why is Musk handing out those flamethrowers? Well, he had the same vision. So basically, he wants to pass it around. This is a sign of super masculinity, right? So now he's shooting flames. So he figures that must mean I'm going to be a king. But that's not what it meant. It did mean that someone will be a king. But it meant the one who will come from him will be a king, and that was Yeravam. But, I mean, he should have understood that penises are not only flamethrowers, but they're also ways of having children, and it was a reference to his child who would be the flamethrower. That was the point. And that was his mistake. Achitofel. Well, he had a vision of seeing Tsaras on his penis. Now he figures, now, why are penises so important for Malchus? That he decides that must mean that I'm going to be a melech. But remember, the tsaras issue actually is very connected because we have the special limud that if tsaras is on the orla, so then bris mila is deichet tsaras. And that's awfully fishy that this whole issue is all about these melechim who see the power that is expressed. I understand fire, but the idea of tzaras, so this idea of being able to be deichet tzaras, maybe that's what he was thinking. It's difficult to understand, but it's clear that what we're talking about is a sign of power in masculinity. So to be able to have the keach to even get rid of such tzaras, maybe that was the point. Anyway, he held that that meant that he was going to be king, and it did. But again, he forgot the important other issue about penises. They have a tendency to make other people. And that's exactly what happened. It was a reference to Batsheva. Batsheva was his daughter. She was the one that was ending up to make Shlomo HaMelech king. And that's what it was referring to. It's Tagnine Paro. And what mistake did they make what they saw? The Omer Abchama Barabichanina. Understand, What, Hema? What we knew about the Mei Meriva from before? Like, why are we referring to them as some, the well-known Mei Meriva? Ah, that's because these are the same ones that there was a lot of discussion about before. Because while Yisrael was in Mitzrayim, so the Itztagnine Paro, they told Paro originally, when he's getting worried about the Jews are going to end up having a Moshiach, and he wanted to make sure that he gets rid of that child before he ends up doing damage. So they told Paro, listen, we see in the stars that this new person who is the Moshiach, Shal Yisrael, is going to be destroyed by water, through Meriva of water. So they thought, so they said to him, Moshiach, Shal Yisrael, b'mayim huloka. So they said to him, go drown all the babies, because he's doomed by water. That's what they thought. So because of that, Omar kol ha-ben ha-yilod ha-yeora tashlichu. But in reality, they didn't understand what they were seeing. Ve'ein lo yadu shal iske mei meriva loke. It's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that yan lo he'emantem bi, and that was because of mei meriva, that in the end costs Moshe Rabbeinu his life. And it's true that al mei meriva hu loke. Hema mei meriva, therefore the Torah is identifying. This was what was always behind this rumor, magic of rumor, that Moshe Rabbeinu would be destroyed by water. Now, you say that Yerovam does not have a chelik in the Elam Haba. I mean, that's not up to you. I mean, how do you know whether Yerovam has a chelik in Elam Haba or not? Well, minolan de loasi le'alma da'ati, tehtiv vayihi badavar hazeh, lechatat beit Yerovam ulahakhid ulahashmid me'al pnei ha'adama. So what are these two lashonos? Lahakhid, to make you extinct, ulahashmid, and totally destroy. I mean, same thing, no? Ah, it must be therefore. Lahakhid means ba'olam hazeh, and lahashmid means lo'olam haba. So because of this terrible avera of putting up these agoles, therefore, he will be utterly destroyed in both olamos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, look, Yerovam was zeichel malchus min hashamayim, right? I mean, he was told by Navi that he is supposed to be king, and he was given the malchus lechatchila for 36 years. What did he do that could make him a melech? It's because he had the chutzpah to speak truth to authority. And he was mochiach Shlomo HaMelech, and he told Shlomo HaMelech, you're doing the wrong thing. So why was he punished? I understand he was punished for making the Hagolais, but why weren't his Maisim Tovim Megin? Because normally if somebody who is a tzaddik is nichshal, he must have done something that allowed him to be put into a position to be nichshal. So wouldn't that act of being willing to say the truth no matter what and risking your career totally and saying it to Shlomo HaMelech, who could get very dangerously angry, I mean, isn't that enough to protect him? No, it's mipnei she'ochicho b'rabim, because what he should have done was spoken to Shlomo privately, but instead he spoke to him when other people were around. Shenemar v'zeh hadavar asher herim yad b'melech. This is the issue, that he actually raised his hand up against the king, because Shlomo banat hamilo sagar et peretz ir. So what happened was that there used to be a wide open city of Yerushalayim. Anybody who wanted to could come in. And originally, when he married Bat Paro, he had Bat Paro living in Ir David, which says beferish that he put her lechatchila in Ir David, it says in Malachi. Afterwards, we find that he built this palace on the Milo. Exactly what the Milo is, it's not clear, but it was definitely some plaza. Do they know where the Milo is? I mean, I know they, Barnea, I know they claim that they've identified the Milo.
My first year here, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, that's out of the Yeshiva of the South, was having a whole discussion with me. I couldn't follow it then. So I don't know. I good opinion. I would say I don't know. It's always one of the big questions. Where is it?
Okay, but anyway, there's been a lot of theories about where the Milo is. But so he built her a palace, which was in Yerushalayim proper, and she was able to control the Knesset Yerushalayim, according to some. So Yeravam says to Shlomo HaMelech, what you've done is disgusting. David Avicha Paratz Paratzot Bachoma Kidei Sheyalu Yisrael Oregel. David HaMelech Dafka opened up new places in the wall. Instead of opting for greater protection of Yerushalayim, he opted for greater opening and accessibility of Yerushalayim, that people should be able to come in from all directions in order to be able to come up to Yerushalayim, to the Yamim Tevim. And you put up these, Gadaritotam, you put up these fences and you let people in only after they pay the new Manhattan traffic toll. Yeah, and what do you do with the money, with the new Manhattan traffic toll? You use it to provide for Bat Paro. It's outrageous. So gata gadaritotam kedei lasotan garia la Bat Paro. That's the point. And the Lashon of Asher Heirim Yad Bamelech. I mean, what do you mean? He lifted up his hand? You mean physically? He was going to hit the king? Omer of Nachman, it means he lifted up his hand and exposed his tefillin. And he took off his tefillin in front of Shlomo. Taking off your tefillin is a sign of bizayon. And to take off his tefillin in the presence of Shlomo himself means that he was mezalzel in tefillin, in Shlomo. Like, you imagine, the Mida Keneged Mida, the terror of Mida Sadin, that what it was that Yeravam did was to do anything to prevent people from coming up to Yerushalayim, the very thing that he was Mochiach Shlomo for, that ends up destroying him, taking away his life, taking away Klal Yisrael's Achdus, making him lose his Olam Haba. It's just beyond belief. The very thing that he's standing up for, risking his life for. I'm telling you, speaking about not to be sure about yourself, Adio Moscha. Omer of Nachman. Yeah. Omer of Nachman. Gasuta Rua. Shayabo bi Yeravam. Teradito mina olam. Shinema. We see that it's his Gasus HaRuach, way that he wants to protect himself and always to be viewed as the most important guy. So it's Vayomer Yeravam Belibo. Ata Tashuva Mamlecha LeBeit David. Now what's going to happen now? It's Yontif. I'm the king. I want to always be king. And if I go up to the Beis HaMikdash, and what happens? People are going to come to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're going to rebel against me. Im Yaleh Am Hazeh Lasod Zvachim BeBeit Hashem BeYerushalayim. So in the end, Vishav Leva Am Hazeh LaAdoneihem El Rechavam Melech Yehuda, they're going to recognize that the real king is Rechavam. If I try to hang on beyond the time that the Navi told me, they'll kill me. They'll say I'm Rebbe Malchus, Haraguni, Vishav El Rechavam Melech Yehuda. So what is this all about? So Yeravam says to himself, Amar, Gemiri de'en yeshiva ba'azara elam alchei beit Yehuda bilva. The only people who are allowed to sit down in the Azara and the Beis HaMikdash is Dafka, the Malachim that come from Malchus Beis David. That's a Kabbalah that we have. So what am I going to do? I can't sit down there. So given the chosu le'lu rechavam de'yosi v'ana ka'imna, if I go there to bring korbonas, obviously I can't not go. I mean, Klal Yisrael is going to bring the Korban Pesach. I'm not going to go. I mean, that's totally impossible. So they're going to see that Rechavam is sitting there in the Beis HaMikdash, and I have to stand. So they're going to say, oh, so what does that show? Oh, Malka, oh, Avda. The real Melech is Rechavam. And this guy is really an Evet to Rechavam. So if I try to hang on, then they're going to know I'm not really a king. If I sit down, that's mamash, an act of Merida B'malchus. Merida B'malchus, avoy. I can't sit down. They'll kill me for being Merida B'malchus. And in the end, Ozul Batre, I have nothing to do. So therefore it says, Vayiva Eitz HaMelech, he went, looked for people to take counsel from, and he decides he's going to make Shnei Egle Zahav, Yomer Aleihem, there's no need to go all the way up to Yerushalayim. We're going to have our convenient Egle Hazov right within your own neighborhood. There's one he'll put in Beit El, one he'll put in Dan. So wherever you are, you have a local, wonderful alternative to Yerushalayim. So Rav Lecha Me'alot Yerushalayim, Hinei Elohecha Yisrael, Asher Elucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Vayasem Et Echad Be'Beit El, Et Echad Natan Be'Dan. Okay? Now, it says that he actually took counsel. I mean, who in the world would have possibly been a counsel to the king that would have said such a nutty thing? Go make Agolis. I mean, and if there was a person like that, so who in the world would rely on him? Can you imagine? I mean, if somebody did something like this to you, you're crazy. So what does it mean? Omer of Yudah is very smart. What he did was he took a person who was really a Rasha and sat him down around the round table of the cabinet meetings. So he says to them, okay, look, I really need to be a melech. I mean, after all, you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm meant to be melech. So I want you guys to sign that whatever it is that I do with the koyach of a melech. Chatmitu akol davidna. So will you sign now up front? She said, yes, you are a melech. Amar lohu, I want to be proclaimed as having all the dinim of a melech. Malkabina lamahavi. Absolutely. Yes, we sign on that. And anything that I tell you to do, you will do as a king. Kol damin lechu avidetu. Absolutely. And that would include, if I tell you, go be Ovid Avedis Kechavi, would you do it? Says the tzaddik, chas v'chalila, what are you, crazy? So the Rasha says to the tzaddik, what's the matter with you? Do you really entertain the possibility that a gadol ador like Yerovam is going to tell us to do avedis kochavim? That's outrageous. He just wants to see whether you're really on his side and you trust him. So he wants to see that trust. So he's asking you this to see that you realize what a tzaddik and gadol he is. And therefore, sure, sure, we'll sign on even to be avedis zara. That's all he wants to see. So because of that, everybody signed. And even Achia HaShiloni signed. Now, Achia HaShiloni, as the Rambam says, was from the Yotze Mitzrayim. He learned directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent to actually give over the Nevius, that and that Yerovam was supposed to be the Navi, supposed to be the Melech over the Aseres HaShvatim, as an Einash to Beis David. So even Achia HaShiloni was the mocker of that Malchus, and he was there, and he accepted what that Rasha said, that you understand that, of course, it means that this is a test as to how much you trust him. Of course I trust him. And so because of that, even Achia HaShiloni, as some of the Rishonim say, doesn't mean Achia HaShiloni signed on that even if you do Avodah Zara, because I mean, how can Achia HaShiloni sign even if he thinks it's insane? You can't sign on that. But he signed on the general, the way that everybody gave in. We certify that Yerovam ben Nevat is the melech that's chosen by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Fine, that he signed. But because they put all of this together and they had, you know, these other contracts, even if he says of it is so, you can trust him 100%. So therefore, if Achia would have been chayshed that such a thing was possible, he wouldn't have signed anything. But like this, they made it seem that Achia HaShiloni actually had agreed. We know that that must be true. Because, look, Yehu was a tremendous tzad, right? And, I mean, it says, Beferish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's a tzad. I'm not saying he's a tzadik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yehu, Vayomer Hashem al Yehu, Yan asher hetivota lasot hayashar beinai kekol asher bevavi asita levet achav b'nei reveim yeshvu lecha kisei Yisrael. I mean, you can't get a better smicha than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm so happy with you. You did everything I wanted to be done in destroying Achav because of all of the Evdei HaBaal, and you brought them all up with that little trick and pretended that you're going to make a big holiday for the Baal, and then you burnt them all to death. Wonderful, beautiful, exactly what I was hoping would be done. Because of that, you're going to have four generations on the Malchus. And what happened? After that, it says, Yehu lo shamar lelechet b'torat Hashem Elokei Yisrael b'chol levavo. Why? Lo sar mi al chatot yiravam asherech b'yis Yisrael. So he apparently, even though he was ready to murder everybody, anything to do with the Baal, and he destroyed everything that Achav had done, he didn't act against the agolos of Yeravam. Why not? So must be that what made that mistake was the fact that he saw that it was signed even by this incredible signature, even of Achia Hashivani. He must have actually thought that it had a gushpanka, that it must be okay. And how did he fall into such a thing? I mean, as we said, we asked by Yeravam. I understand the proximate causes, but I'm asking you, what did the person do that he should come to be nichshal in those proximate causes? What did he do wrong? Oh, says Abaya, the problem is not what he did wrong, but how he spoke. Remember that we have this idea of brit kruta l'sfatayim. Somebody says something, even if he doesn't mean it. The expression of something in the world is as if there's a special brit with words, and words have terrible impacts, even if they're not meant, as we've seen so many places. And so many places in the Gemara, where one of the Talmidei Chachamim in the Gemara says something, and the Gemara says it was like a ta'ut, but it's yotze mipi ha-shalit, and it happens, even though it was never meant. So brit kruta l'sfatayim. Remember the way that he pulled that little shtick to get all of the Nevi'ei HaBaal into one place. So he announces, you guys think that you've seen real Baal worship. Let me tell you something. Achav avadet HaBaal ma'at. Yehu is going to show you what it really means to be a loyal worshiper of the Baal. You say those words, even though they're only there in order to entrap all of the Nevi'ei HaBaal, and this is what happens to you. And as Rava says, no, it was the Chotamo Shel Achia HaShiloni is actually enough to cause directly Vita'ah. He thought because of this, so that meant that that was the original Ta'ut, and even in accepting such a Ta'ut, that is a Chet. And therefore, to believe that Achia HaShiloni had signed on, that's enough to be able to do such an Avera. Okay, but it's clear from Rava that Achia HaShiloni actually was signed on some level, whether you learn the Pashtus, or you learn it the way the Rishonim explain it, that he was added to that.